Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit View, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit View on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU, Capacity Building Blocks, or Organizational Development. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_you. You'll find the NonprofitU fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. This is a pre-recorded podcast, so we will not be taking phone calls. Today's episode is Capacity Building Blocks. We'll talk about ways organizations may strengthen their organizational capacity and better position themselves for fundraising. While this is not a live podcast, I do encourage you to post your comments on the episode page. If you have questions, feel free to email me at consulting@valeriefleonard.com. So what is organizational capacity and why should you care? When we speak of capacity, we're generally referring to an organization's potential to marshal their human, financial, and other resources to effect positive change in the communities and clients they serve. Organizational capacity is impacted by a number of factors, and these include leadership, the organization's stage of development, and changes in the environment, to name a few. Organizations engage activities in order to increase their effectiveness in serving their constituencies. Such activities include, but are not limited to, hiring new employees to meet increased demand for services, strategic planning to position themselves for changes in the environment, training board and staff on their roles and responsibilities, or automating financial systems. Organizational stakeholders, including board members, management, and funders, tend to focus on six major components of organizational capacity. These include board governance and leadership, financial management, fundraising and resource development, program delivery and impact, human resources and networking, and strategic partnerships. Organizational assessments are used to determine the extent to which these components work together to enhance organizational performance. So, who cares? Your funders care. In the advent of venture philanthropy, we increasingly have seen an environment in which funders are treating their charitable gifts as investments as opposed to donations with very few strings attached. Funders want to get the biggest bang for their buck, and they typically apply principles from venture capital finance and business management to achieve very specific goals and outcomes that are easily measured. Funders may use assessment tools to assess organizations' core capabilities, decide whether or not to fund organizations, or to determine what types of capacity building is necessary to move the organization towards long-term sustainability. Your board members care. In addition to their fiduciary duties of loyalty and care, and when I speak of fiduciary duties, you know, these are duties for the loyalty and care. The duty of loyalty indicates that there should be no conflicts of interest between the board members and the organization. So they should not gain, personally. When we have a duty of loyalty, we're also talking about making sure that there's complete loyalty to the organization. So when we talk about the duty of care, we're talking about making sure that there's no rubber stamps and that every decision that comes before the board should be weighed carefully, look at the pros and cons. So in addition to the fiduciary duties, board members are responsible for guiding the strategic direction and monitoring the organization to ensure that the organization meets its mission, goals, and objectives in a manner that is impactful to the community. And when I say impactful to the community, I'm talking about bringing about change. Board members may use assessment tools to lay the groundwork for program evaluation, to identify strengths and weaknesses of the organization in preparation for board recruitment, strategic planning, or a board retreat. Again, these are just, you know, examples. Your management and staff care. Management and staff are responsible for the day-to-day operations of the organization and program implementation. They have their fingers on the pulse of the organization and have a vested interest in ensuring that there are systems in place to allow them to maximize productivity and deliver services in the most cost-effective, efficient manner possible. Management and staff may use assessment tools to lay the groundwork for program development and evaluation planning, operations and programs, identify areas for future staff training and professional development, and to prepare for a strategic planning process or staff retreat. As I said before, organizations tend to assess their capacity over six broad areas: board governance, financial management, fundraising, human resources, program management, and networking. Now, if you go to my website, ValerieFLeonard.com, and you look under organizational capacity or assessing your organizational capacity, you should be able to download an organizational capacity assessment tool. This will help you assess your readiness for fundraising and just in general, make sure you have your systems in place. The area of capacity we want to look at is board governance. We have five indicators, and the first indicator is the board of directors is actively involved in setting strategic direction, and this includes strategic planning, developing organizational policies, fundraising, financial management, and program oversight. The second group of indicators are the organization's bylaws are updated as necessary and are supported by a system of board and management policies and procedures. The bylaws are enforced by the board of directors. The third indicator is the organization maintains key organizational documents in a binder, and these include articles of incorporation, standing, board minutes, bylaws, and board policies and procedures. The fourth indicator or group of indicators are the organization is up to date with all its regulatory filings, and this includes its IRS letter of determination or, you know, their tax exempt letter, statement of change of registered agent and or registered office. And it's really important to, you know, keep up to date with, you know, who your registered agent is, as well as if you move your registered office. If there's a change in person, who's your registered agent, or a change in your location, which would be your registered office, you need to file with the Secretary of State, and you need to also let the IRS know. You should also maintain exemption for sales taxes. You have to do that every year. Maintain your payroll tax withholding. File federal Form 990. File the state equivalent, which would be the state AG 990-IL in the state of Illinois, file with the Secretary of State the annual report, and make sure that you're registered with the Attorney General's office. And when I say registered, that's Form CO1 or Form CO2. The fifth indicator is the fact that the Board of Directors has minimized risk to the organization by providing directors and officers insurance, general liability insurance, and self-insurance where necessary. The second category of capacity is financial management. There are also five indicators there, and the first indicator of sound financial management practices are the organization maintains an automated accounting system that tracks revenues and expenditures by grant sources. The second indicator is there's a current financial policies and procedure manual that has been adopted by the board of directors, meaning they voted for it, and it conforms to GAAP or generally accepted accounting principles. The third indicator, the organization generates statements of revenues and expenses, which is your income statement, They generate statements of financial position, which is the same as your balance sheet, cash flow statement, and bank reconciliations on a monthly basis. The fourth indicator is the organization generates audited financial statements annually. And fifth, the organization can readily generate financial reports that report budgeted revenues and expenses versus actual revenues and expenses for up to 3 years or more. Our third category is fundraising. So organizations that are practicing good fundraising practices and are effective, they tend to have demonstrated their ability and willingness to raise funds from a number of sources, foundations, individuals, and corporations. Another strong indicator of fundraising is there are systems in place to track donors, grants, and contracts, and this includes gift amounts and progress towards goals and objectives. The third indicator is the organization is in compliance with all the terms and conditions of all the grants, contracts, and charitable gifts that it currently has. You know, so if you haven't filed the paperwork or provided reports for what you have, it's very difficult to get more. And fifth, there's a long-range fundraising plan in place, and it's consistent with the organizational budget, staffing plans, programs, strategic plans, cash flow projections. So when we look at the next set of indicators or the next area of capacity, we're looking at human resources. And the five indicators there are, first of all, the staff has the education, certifications, licenses, knowledge, and skills to perform the task for which they were hired. The second indicator of strong human resource management is the staff is well-versed in the issues and latest developments that impact their ability to develop programs to serve the needs of the organization's clients. The third indicator is the organization is to carry out its mission, goals, and objectives. The fourth indicator of strong human resources, there are human resources policies in place that conform to the current federal and state employment laws and regulations. And fifth, there are policies in place to prevent discrimination, minimize risk, and to promote a safe working environment. And it's important, too, to demonstrate that everybody in the organization has seen it and they comply. Our next category of capacity is program management. The first indicator of strong program management is the programs are consistent with the strategic plan. The next one is there are systems in place to track program progress towards financial and programmatic goals and objectives. The third indicator of program management is the programs are evaluated by management and board on a regular basis. And not only do they evaluate, they make sure that the lessons learned from the evaluation are then used to improve the organization. And the fifth indicator of sound program management practices is their operating policies and procedures in place to ensure high quality of service delivery, mitigation of risk, and maintain institutional knowledge. Our last set of capacity indicators are around networking. So the first indicator is board and staff maintain healthy relationships with the organization's clients and the community. The second indicator is the organization maintains open communication with key community leaders, elected officials, funders, board members, and staff. The third indicator of strong networking is the organization works in partnership with several organizations to develop programs, to advocate on behalf of the community, or to achieve other mutually beneficial goals. These relationships have translated into increased funding, enhanced service delivery, and greater community impact. Strong networking. The organization has no difficulty getting letters of support from members of the community. This includes clients, other organizations, local community members, or elected officials. And finally, attendees of the organization's special events include people from a pretty broad spectrum. And this can include clients, board members, members of the philanthropic community, local community members, and elected officials. So again, you can download my assessment tool at valeriasleonard.com under Assess Your Organization's page. So this tool actually provides a way for you to measure your progress towards, I guess, efficiency, if that makes sense, and then also to, you know, identify areas where you're strong, areas where you're weak, and then to, you know, if you analyze it, it'll help you to develop a plan where you can increase your capacity over time. Some of the tools you may end up using, increasing your capacity, could be things like board development, putting in financial systems, doing program evaluation, or even shoring up existing programs, making sure that you're in compliance, providing more staff training. So those are some of the activities you might identify as a result of, you know, seeing some of the strengths and weaknesses. So when we look at the takeaways, we see that nonprofits should have a well-documented track record in developing programs that have a meaningful impact upon the community and the clients served. They should also have the ability to exercise good stewardship over financial and human resources, the ability to manage relationships among various community constituencies. Those organizations that make the investment in building organizational capacity are more likely to be in a position to sustain themselves over the long run. So how would you assess your organization's capacity? And then, you know, when we look at fundraising, there's a strong relationship between fundraising and organizational capacity. Funders, you know, yeah, they like to hear your mission, your goals, and your values, and what impact you've made, but they also like to understand, you know, how strong your capacity is so that they know that you're in this for the long haul. So in addition to, you know, how you would assess your organization's capacity, what are your organization's strengths? What areas do you need to shore up? How will you increase capacity? So what activities are you going to engage in to increase that capacity so that you can compete better for resources? What resources will you need? How much will it cost? What are your overall goals and objectives? And when will you get started? So I want to thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Kimberly George, a college readiness specialist from CYC ABC Polk Brothers Center in Chicago. She'll share an overview of her program and strategies parents and teachers may use to prepare their children for college, and I look forward to a lively discussion. I shall see you next week.